No, qué terrible.
Oh, yeah,
Thank you. Because I think that is glass and all things.
Oh, I think Friday night.
I was reading about Martin Luther King and how he dealt with conflict and structural change in the South. And he was into the structure, just like we're dealing with the structural change here, because we're dependent on fossil fuels. And King is in an environment where the top-down policies from the Supreme Court were all about ending segregation and integration. And people in the South realized this, the town leaders, the good people in the South, but they weren't moving. They didn't believe it could happen yet, because some people didn't want it to happen. His letter from a Birmingham jail was to 8 religious leaders, including, thinking of the story, was a liberal rabbi. They didn't want to change because they weren't ready yet. Didn't make the structure change. So the problem with the South was not the top-down policies, but the local leaders. The local cities were afraid of changing. Were afraid of making structural change they knew had to happen, but just not yet. In the state of California, we have really good policies in the CAFE program about not building freeways, about addressing climate change. We all know this. Will Arnold said this. We know this. Freeway widening doesn't work. On the back of the Squire, I have this quote. Quote right from the CAFE. We know it's insanity to try to build freeways and build our way out of here. What did he get to change? Conflict. He ended up attacking these good people, these religious leaders in the South, because they weren't moving. That's where you got change. So I'm sad, and I have a book about it. They were really harmed. They were good people, and they were harmed because they were caught up in things. But this is the way things have to happen. I hope you'll go. You are conservatives. You don't want to change. You want to protect your community. You want to do things in a traditional way, in a freeway way. And we know it won't work.
Right.
So this is the situation we're in. So understand the conflict we're coming to is. Just like Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Any other members of the public hearing person would like to make a public comment? Right, seeing none, we'll turn to Heather for any online or report. And I'll just note that we did receive a few public comments to our email and all of the directors from the state back. So I have the letter, please check those ones out. With that, we will close our public comment and we'll move to the consent calendar. Do I have any of my colleagues wish to pull anything from the consent calendar?
I have moved the consent calendar as submitted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. Motion by Director Ferrer, second by Director Stollard. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? All right. Motion passes. With that, we move to agenda item number 4. We'll turn to the discussion of the Regional Tolling Authority GO8 Border Blue Project, and Autumn and Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, members of the board. We're very excited to be bringing this item before you tonight, kind of an important milestone for up here as a district and this project as well as for the region as a whole. The two actions part of this agenda item tonight are to approve a joint powers authority agreement with the SACOG, the Sacramento Area Council of Governments, and the California Department of Transportation and Caltrans to establish the Capital Area Regional Tolling Authority, or CARTA, and also to approve a resolution consenting to CARTA submitting a toll authority application for the IAD project. And I'm going to turn it over to Brian Avenatt, who's going to walk you through our presentation.
Thanks, Autumn. Appreciate it. Good evening, Chair Chapman, members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to be briefing on this item this evening. So, as I mentioned, the item before you centers on the establishment of a regional highway tolling authority prompted by the Yolady Corridor project. Now, this project kind of picks up where you left off in December, where the board affirmed Old Mary's Lane as its alternative from ULOCD's perspective, and you also saw the first draft of the JTA agreement, which establishes the tolling authorities among the member agencies. So there's a long historical record of this project on the ULOCD website, and so we're not going to go into much of the project history. You want to be able to focus on queuing this project up and start queuing this item up for your conversation. Many of you will also recognize the presentation because we've been sitting in the SACOG Transportation Committee and board meetings studies will look very familiar to you, but we have pared it down so that we can focus this on the areas of relevance to your agenda. So, with that said, we'll jump right in. One slide, just give a brief orientation of the project for those in the audience who may not be familiar with the project. A little bit of background, highway expansion project, an additional lane in each direction. The EIR process is nearing a close with the public comment period closing on the 1st of January. Several alternatives in the EIR were analyzed, and as I just mentioned, in December, the OT board affirmed, told management of our project preferred alternative. Project purpose to obviously to reduce traffic congestion that occurs on the causeway, improve person throughput, supporting freight and goods movement, economy, and also improving transportation options along the corridor as well. The joint project between Caltrans District 3 and Yolo Transportation District. So Caltrans has their traditional responsibilities such as planning and environmental, design, construction. Yolo TD has been playing the role of a lot of the public outreach and also in towing advanced planning as the project has moved forward. We know we've got $86 million of construction dollars committed from the federal infra grant, and there's been $11 million committed for non-construction works. Next slide, please. Yeah, and so the intent of the regional tolling authority is to partnership amongst different agencies in the region. And one of those partners is Sacramento Area Council of Governments, which is our regional transportation planning agency. And they have a lot of board members with different priorities and represent different constituencies. So they've been having parallel conversations that we've been having with our board here at Yolo TD, but their board and their transportation committee raised some issues related to the JTA and have some clarifications that they would like to have cleared up for them, particularly with respect to the role of what Caltrans' role in the JTA would be, and also around representation, especially in Sacramento County. So, the last 2 months between December and January have been really important in terms of having those conversations at the regional level, and we've gotten to a point where the CityCog, both the CityCog Transportation Committee and their board of directors, strongly supported the staff recommendation, which is also the recommendation that we have in front of you today. Next slide. So jumping into what that governance structure would look like, the tolling authority is looking to be coined Capital Area Regional Tolling Authority, or CARTA, and it is made up of initially three different member agencies, CEPAR, Yolo Transportation District, and Caltrans. In the future, as additional toll management projects enter into other counties, that would then trigger their opportunity to join the regional tolling authority. Next slide, please. So the first scenario, which is one that's coming to a close right now, Caltrans would have their single voting seat. CACOG would appoint a member from anywhere in the region to serve on the board. On the JTA board. And then Yolo County would have three representatives, two from which would be appointed by the Yolo Transportation District, and that's an item that's coming up next. And then the third Yolo County representative would be appointed by CACOG, and that's why you see one of those little chess pieces outlined in blue. And just to illustrate how the process works a little bit more, scenario two, next slide please, basically shows that if a toll management project were to enter, say, Sacramento County on I-5 or Highway 99, the JPA would grow to 8, and the same sort of appointment structure would occur. Sacramento Transportation Authority would appoint two members, and then State College would appoint a third member from somewhere in Sacramento County. Next slide. And then that just repeats itself to a maximum of about 14 board members if and when Placer County or Alvarado County ever have coal management projects that enter into their counties. Next slide. We can jump ahead. So, JCOG staff has did an analysis of several different options. And Kathleen Hanley is here to speak to this in more detail if you're interested, but she did a very good job of looking at all of the different governance options that were raised in the JCOG venue and look real closely at what the advantages and disadvantages were, primarily surrounding, you know, risk to the project. And what was of interest to SACOG board members was the risk to SACOG as an agency. Two other criteria included, you know, regionalism and how much the option reflected, you know, regional partnerships. And then the last criterion being what local representations were reflected in each of those options. We're not going to go into those in detail, but you can see the staff recommendation is circled there in blue, and that was the one that you see before you this evening. So, felt like that had the best combination of representation and reducing risk, especially with the federal funding that we have within this tight timeline that we're working with. Okay, next slide, please. So, the next step after the JCA is formed, it was that board will need to meet, and they are going to be responsible for two things. One is submitting a towing toll facility application, and then also accompanying that will be a contract of operation. And so what the toll facility application needs to do, it needs to demonstrate improved corridor performance, it's got to demonstrate strong regional support, and it has to be feasible both in terms of complying with state law and making sure that it's financially feasible and that the operation of the proposed operation facility are sound. And so we feel like over the past, you know, 7-8 months, we've been developing this project and developing Poland in a way that we feel like, achieve all of those, requirements in the whole facility application, which our consultant study that we are working on as we speak. Next slide, please. The second item I mentioned was the concept of operations. We're not going to go into detail here, but it's basically three components, facility design and performance. That needs to include so that they can evaluate critically whether or not what we're proposing to do can work. Roles and responsibilities between different member agencies and also third-party agencies such as, you know, Highway Patrol, FHWA, and so forth. And then finally, reviewing the operational and technical requirements such as days and hours of operation, who might receive discounts, if any, which vehicles, if any, might receive exemptions. So all of those sort of operational, policies need to be included in the concept of operation. Again, that's another document that's being produced by our consultant WST, and that will accompany the form of location. Next slide, please. One of the main issues, both at the Sacramento, at the SACOG regional level, and also to maybe to a lesser extent here with our board, is so, you know, what happens with, you know, the funding that is generated by, you know, by the tolling lane. And what this slide shows you is sort of a waterfall of, that you have all the funding comes in, and then you have obligations that you have to meet. Preparing your expenses, and then after that, you can look to spend your funding on other discretionary purposes. And that's really kind of speaks to the heart of, what an expenditure plan, would include once it's completed. But we're not expecting a whole lot of net toll revenue, particularly in the first couple of operational years. But there's a process, and there are policies and guardrails in place within the JCA agreement that make sure that everybody's interests are protected and represented in the formation of the JCA. Next slide. So that concludes the formal slide. So again, we wanted to do this up for conversation. Autumn also mentioned the action that we're requesting from the board this evening. That's to approve the JPA agreement, which you have in front of you, and then also approve the resolution consenting to the new JPA submission of the full application to the California Transportation Commission. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Brian. I'll turn back to my colleagues for any clarifying questions before we go to public comments. Right. So now we will open up public comment.
This is a little bit in the lead, but I'll ask it. If there was a future regional transit consolidation and the OTE were to get subsumed, would the OTE still remain the OTE? It's a question for you.
Much care to my lawyer friends on my right.
So any future consolidation would have to deal with the successor agency that takes over responsibility, and I would assume that successor agency agreement would have to reflect where the responsibilities would lie for any future agency.
Mm-hmm. And would that need to go back to the state for a revision to the APA, or could it be pre-addressed and not and skip a future step as we go back to
My view is that would neither have to go back to the state nor SACOG nor any of the other entities. It would simply be dealt with through the successor agency agreement between YOLO TV and whatever ABC takes over its responsibilities. And there's no provision in the agreement for that to have to happen to go back to the other parts.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, with that, we'll open up public comment. We'll turn to in-person public comment first. Welcome.
We have a crisis of democracy in the United States because of the electoral college system. We have a crisis of democracy in the United States because of the electoral college system, because we give representation based on states, not on population. So we have presidents who are, the last four Republican presidents have been elected by people who are not representative of the majority of the votes here. The current plan grossly underrepresents the county of Sacramento, which has 60% of the population in the county, and probably the most diverse in the Northeast population. It overrepresents the rural counties in the region, in this division. That's as of the SACOG board. It's not democratic. People pay tolls, not geographical counties. So the representation should represent the people who are paying the tolls. Especially if they do social justice payments on it. And I would suggest the YOLO causeway, probably 50-60% of the people, most of the people on the full causeway don't live in YOLO County. Probably 90%. And probably a lot live in Solano County, even Sacramento joined the Solano County drivers across the causeway have no representation in this board. And will they get social justice equity payments? I think we have a problem here. This recapitulates the problem that it overrepresents the rural counties and underrepresents the rural and the urban counties and people in the region. And I think we need to deal with that thing. SACOG has that big card baked into it. Every city gets represented, even the city of Isleton, 500 people, the dues hardly pay for the printing costs for the packets. I don't think you still haven't dealt with this. This is an easy path. And Solano County is no longer in this thing. And they are big payer tolls. That's not equitable, and that's not socially equitable either. And it builds in more challenges to our democracy. I would urge you to reject this plan and basic proportionally have population drivers on the tool. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Al. Do you have any online public comment?
We do not.
All right. Seeing that, I will close public comment and bring it back to the dais and the colleagues for discussion. Anybody want to kick off?
Ready to make a motion. Anytime. Hello.
Director Sullivan.
Admittedly, few representation vehicles are perfect. We're drilling from here is on the Solano County Board Authority either. And as the former Christopher Cavalden said at SACOG, really so much less seems to be a part of a tolling authority board. It's very dry, very detailed oriented work. But I do believe that people have the ability to write above their own provincialities, and as we do at SACOG regularly, and we make provision for the larger counties and their needs, as we try to do for the rural counties as well. So I'm comfortable with this, and I respectfully offer a motion on the floor that we adopt the recommendation.
I'm happy to second the motion and have a couple of comments.
Sure.
Yeah, I appreciate the Director of Salary's comments as well. I mean, I think that the example you gave around the Bay Area. I mean, I myself personally, or many others, I think from this region, go to the Bay Area and occasionally take hold, and yet we don't have any representation from our rural county or our suburban county on that, those boards. So, I mean, I think the same is all true for the Capital Corridor, the Joint Powers Authority, which is a transit board, right? It's a, you know, a representative on that board serves from each of the counties that Capital Corridor, the line goes through. But many people ride the Capital Corridor that don't necessarily live in those counties. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, again, a bit of, not entirely perfect in terms of the creation of the GATA, but I think the likelihood is that, and I think it's going to make a lot of sense that the way it's been being set up initially is that, you know, the majority of the seats on the board are from the geography in which the actual infrastructure is going to transit through. So Sacramento County will be, likely added fairly soon, I would assume, and they, over the course of the next couple of years. And it's obviously anticipated that other counties in the Sacramento region, including El Dorado and Placer, will likely also be added at some point in the probably not too distant future. So I appreciate all the staff work that's been done both here but also at SACOG, and really think that motion makes a lot of sense.
I echo what my colleagues are saying, as well as even its own board, and former Mayor Qualman talked actually about this board as well in regards to evenly being represented across the rural county, despite the fact that our sizes as well as the use of public transportation varies across all of our cities and across the county as well. And so I think it is important. I am new to this board, but I have felt that we've all done great job of trying to be respectful as well as deferential to each other in regards to our varying cities and the varying needs of our areas, despite the fact that it's not necessarily our cities in and of themselves that we are coming from, and looking at that as well and making sure that we are evenly distributed, and also the needs of our county are well represented. I know myself, I've advocated for Winters, even though, again, I'm from West Sacramento. And so I'm very hopeful that we did the same. I also think that we had a very good discussion both in December as well as this past month at SACOG in and of itself regarding the representations of Sacramento. And I think one of the things that you see on here is not only that you have this even representation as counties come on, they get seats, but we also have the supermajority vote in regards to excess pooling revenue to ensure that those counties that potentially would be impacted more, that their vote would hold a greater weight where they are most impacted. So I think with all of that, I too will be voting to move this forward as well.
Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, and I think there's, regarding that representation that we're talking about, you two different pieces, right? When you look at the SACOG board, it passed 28-1, and the only dissenting vote was a director out of Yuba City. So even all the folks who are in Sacramento County, either Sacramento County supervisors or the Sac City council members, all voted in favor of what is here before us this evening. So I think that carried a lot of weight. And then just briefly, can you just touch on the work that has been done prior to the recommendation of SACOG board meeting with Sac County, just to kind of get to this point, just
Just one quick clarification, Mr. Chair. I think it was
Marysville.
Sorry, we just didn't
share.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question regarding the work with Sacramento Transportation Authority. And I will note that I meant to introduce you to but Kathleen Hanley is here from State Hog, and she's really done an amazing amount of work on this as well. So I invite her to give some comments. But what I would say is, starting in May of 2023, YOLA TD, after receiving a grant from State Hog, a $2 million funding grant to do this tolling advanced planning work, we immediately reached out and established a working group that included State Hog, Caltrans, Placer, El Dorado, and Sacramento Transportation Authorities. With the goal, we met monthly with the goal of talking about, hey, we're going to establish a new tolling authority. We recognize as the first ones in the region that we can't just go this alone, and we want to be inclusive. And so, you know, so that group has been meeting, like I said, met monthly from about May until, I'd say, November to kind of gather input and have conversations about the tolling authority. But then I think then that effort really intensified in November and December, and maybe Kathleen can speak to that.
Sure, happy to, and thank you all for having me here this evening. So I think the directors that sit on the Sacramento Transportation Authority Board, which is the local transportation and sales tax entity for Sacramento County and sort of the best transportation special district equivalent for Sacramento County, that they have concerns that aren't dissimilar to you all. We want to do this better than the Bay Area and Southern California does it, and we want to successfully deliver these $86 million. So they came to the table with the right intentions, but with really wanting to be sure that because they weren't initial voting members of this JTA, that there were some protections in place to ensure that when their facilities came online, that they have the appropriate amount of discretion over uses of excess toll revenue within their county. So TICOC staff and STA staff have lots of back and forth through December and January on possible recommendations to kind of balance, as your staff, Brian, indicated, that need for regionalism, but also that local representation piece. And then I presented at the Sacramento Transportation Authority Board in January, received direction directly from a representative from every city and all the supervisors within Sacramento County on this, and all of them provided direction to their staff to support the staff recommendation you see before you and the one that went to the state council board. So we're confident that this compromise is successful for Sacramento County.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen. I think, you know, part of it is at the forefront of since my short time on this board, I've just spent 1 year, this has been a huge topic and policy issue we've been waiting. I think what is before us here is just this focus on a holistic regional approach to what we're doing, right? There are different options that were out there that could have been put in place, and I think that this is one that we were able to negotiate out and get to a point where all the current players and people that will be joining are happy with this proposal. And I think thanks Kathleen and her team and our team and all the regional folks who sat around for the past 8 months to get to what we have here before this evening. So thank you. Anyone else? Dr. Moore?
I would just say that I agree with something Tom said. I think that the comments should be additive, and I think they've all been said. So, no, I do not.
All right, so thank you. So I have a motion on the floor for staff recommendations 1 and 2 from Director Stollard, a second from Director Ferris. Do we have any other questions, comments, concerns for staff? All right, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? For that, the motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Yeah, and thank you to staff once again for all your hard work. Director Stollard just kicked me in case I didn't say
anything.
I wonder if the chair might indulge me for a comment.
Absolutely. Anytime.
So, are we being billed for this?
No.
I just want to say it really has been an honor and privilege to work with the board and to work with Autumn on this project. There is no doubt this is a very difficult and challenging project in many, many respects. But I think I do want to offer a little bit of content for the action that you're taking tonight. In 2020, SACOG adopted a regional transportation plan sustainable community strategy. And one of the foundational principles in that strategy was to adopt pricing strategies throughout the region. It is the only way that the region gets to the 19% reduction in per capita greenhouse gas emission reduction. It's really easy.
Mandated by the state.
Yeah, exactly.
Mandated by the state of California for that.
As part of the Sustainable Communities and Climate Protection Act of 2008, which SACOG was a huge motivator for to adopt regional greenhouse gas emissions reduction targets. And think I adopted a plan that really only if reduced emissions by 18.51%, which was rounded to 19, really on a razor's edge of the SACOG region doing its part for the state's climate goals. And pricing was a key strategy for that. It's been 4 years now. And that's a target that comes very quickly. It comes in 2035. And the plan really contemplated that by 2030, that the region was going to be implementing aggressively pricing strategies, and not a lot has happened. And it's really through the leadership of this board and your executive director that has really moved the region forward on pricing. The development of this joint powers authority to start implementing tolling facilities in this region, even though some may view this project as imperfect, is a huge accomplishment, and it could only happen, in my view, as a proud YOLO resident. It could only happen here, and your leadership, it has been remarkably important to that. I was, as your lawyer and as a longtime YOLO County resident, I was proud to sit at the SACOG board meeting last Thursday and see our current members and hear them represent the region and YOLO County, and to see all of our past chairs stand up and speak so eloquently of the need for this project, and particularly tolling facilities and a regional authority like this to start the process of implementing them. It's an important moment. You should be very proud of the work that you're doing. Thanks.
And you're welcome to make comments like that. Can you tell us whether you show us or not? Thank you.
Nice to
meet
you. Yeah.
All right. Truly appreciate it. With that, we're going to move to agenda item number 5, appointment for the Capital Area Regional Tolling Authority. Looks like Brian and Autumn once again. We'll turn it over to you.
Great, and thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to appreciate Kirk all of his help. We also would not be here without Kirk for a place to come. We are paying him for his time tonight, so he's not actually. You gotta be careful with those lawyers, what they say. Anyway, so our next agenda item is related to the last one, and that is around appointments to the new Capital Area Regional Tolling Authority. And for context here, because of the aggressive timeline that has been given to us by the Fed to obligate our funds, this new agency, this new CHA, needs to meet in February, actually, to keep this project moving. And so at the SACOG board meeting last week where they approved the JCA, they also made their two appointments to the CARTA board. They appointed Supervisor Oscar Villegas from Yolo County as their Yolo County representative, and Supervisor Patrick Kennedy from Sacramento County as their at-large representative. So following on the heels of that, we've also brought you our recommendation tonight that is based on the premise that for the last two and a half years that we've been working on this, we've had multiple iterations of ad hoc committees focused on this project, and the board's consideration in establishing those ad hoc committees was to have the three most impacted jurisdictions as much as possible represent YOLO-TD, that being Davis, West Sacramento, and YOLO County, the three agencies, the three jurisdictions that the COA actually passed this through. So our recommendation to you tonight is twofold. First is to appoint representatives from the City of Davis and the City of West Sacramento to the CARTA board, again, recognizing that SACOG has already appointed someone from Yolo County to serve on that board. And then second, and I know Heather's as excited about this as I am, is to let SACOG staff be the administrators of the new Joint Powers Authority so that they will be the ones carrying forward, setting up those board meetings, publishing agendas, creating staff reports, et cetera, on an interim basis until the JPA itself makes decisions regarding its own staffing and capacity. So those are the two actions that are before you with this item tonight, and look forward to your discussion.
Thank you, Autumn. I will turn to my colleagues for any questions for staff before we move to public comment. Dr. Sullivan?
There's not specific recommendations.
But just the recommendations were to representatives in the City of Davis and the City of West Sacramento.
And due to the fact that we have a supervisor appointed by SACOG from West Sacramento, I feel that's one person from West Sacramento. I would not necessarily exclude other jurisdictions for the same reasons we said earlier. If you want to do it, I certainly would be happy to have you do it.
I want to do it, sir.
All right. I would say no more than that, but I do not think we should be limiting ourselves to jurisdictions strictly on the corridor. I mean, I think that's very provincial. I don't think we should be limiting representatives on the Capitol Corridor Banking Powers Authority training deal to just people on the corridor. I'm a user of the train myself, as are many people in my city. So I just feel that's taking it too down to too refined a level. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stoller. With that, I will open up public comment. If anyone in the room for public comment, welcome.
I'm quite concerned that the I-80 mitigation plan, 15 to 57 million miles, which will cost, according to March 15th or 18th, I think, will cost $50 million a year to implement. This total of the children alternative 4 on slide 21 will only raise $9.6 million. We have a $40 million shortfall in the mitigation plan. That's 20%, we're paying for 20% of the mitigation plan. And the mitigation plan is for 57 million miles. We have 180 million miles induced demand. So the mitigation plan is only 30% of the $180 million. So we have, we're only paying for 20% of the 30%. In other words, the mitigation, we only fund from the tolling 6% of the mitigation of the entire thing. We're supposed to reduce the greenhouse gases, and just to fund it fully, which is a break even. The idea of holding out these tolls to improve transit is a false promise. It's a Faustian bargain. We're building the tolling to raise a little revenue to put 6% of the mitigation, and we're increasing transit, CMT, and greenhouse gases. This is a Faustian bargain. It's a false Faustian bargain that you are making. You are committing my children and my grandchildren living in Yolo County to paying the $40 million shortfall. For just the person that actually the full cost is probably like $150 million a year to mitigate the greenhouse gases from this wider freeway. You are signing up the county up for hundreds of millions of dollars to shortfall just to break even on the greenhouse gases from the freeway. So promises that this will fund transit is false, because the transit will basically won't even cover the cost of the greenhouse gases we're creating by the additional driving. This is the truth. I'm sorry. You can't build the wider freeway. This is the wrong thing to do. And the toll authority is greenwashing a bad cause. The toll lane will only take 6% of the cost of the mitigation of this wider lane. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Any other members of the public like to provide public comments?
Right.
Seeing none, do you have any online public comments?
We do not.
Do not. Perfect. Thank you.
I'm ready to move item 5, that we appoint 2 Yolo City board members to serve the Temple Area Region Tolling Authority Joint Powers Agency, and they be from Davis and Mossack.
Second.
Thanks. So a motion on the floor in a second. I'm just going to have Adam, can you please take a moment, or you or Brian, to address some of the issues for public comment, please?
Sure. I don't want to get too much into the math piece, yeah. But what I will say is the mitigation plan for this project, it's important to recognize that there's what we are moving forward right now with the first phase of this project, where the EIR is a much larger project. The mitigation plan is for a much larger project. So not all of the mitigation that is included in the EIR is going to be implemented promptly. Furthermore, there's I think in the final EIR, you will see some changes with regard to some of the, financial information. I know that a number of the agencies that are involved in the mitigation plan are there's some correction and clarification around some of the costs. What I will say, is that the JCA agreement itself, as well as state law under 8194, requires that toll authority revenues be used first and foremost for things like mitigation requirements. So the mitigation requirements that we have here, in terms of increased transit service and transportation demand management strategies, those need to be a first priority for toll revenue. So, you know, we're going back to this whole question about net excess toll revenue. The first thing that we're going to make sure we get done is that all the mitigation requirements on this. And that is going to be part of the responsibility of the JCA. In terms of creating a deficit that then needs to be filled, I do not see that when I look at the EIR. I see that there's a commitment to long-term funding and mitigation measures to make sure that we're reducing DMT as much as possible. I don't know if Brian wants to add anything.
One point. So there's two funding recommendations for the DMT mitigation plan. There is the first is the upfront one-time funding for capital projects. Those will be used to sort of seed fund the mitigation plan for the first phase of the project. And then once that seed funding is exhausted, then that's when the tolling would is assumed to kick in to help continue funding the programs in the DMT mitigation plan.
Okay, thank you. Do I have any further clarifying questions from colleagues?
I just wanted to go back to Director Solomon's question just on this. This DC tool at least initially start with West Sacramento and Davis, but by doing this vote, this is not sort of a guarantee that moving forward it will have to come from these cities. I just want to clarify that.
And the JCA agreement is silent with regard to how the board would appoint seats and how often they would appoint those seats.
Perfect.
So it is completely up to this board to make any decisions you want regarding the appointment.
And that would come into play, let's say, if there was a supervisor not appointed from West Sacramento, right? Like if Lucas was on State Hall Board and was appointed and represented the city of Davis, then maybe that seat would transition from the city of Davis.
Yeah,
it just happens to be that right now is the
I just like to suggest instead of saying the seat is going to be filled by someone from Davis and some West Side, we say we nominate Dr. Hurley and Director Chapman to be the initial appointees from this board.
That's true.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great.
I would amend.
Damn, with
it. Look at that. Getting along. Just
a clarifying question on that. I'm sure we can amend the motion. Would you be looking for a kind of a period of time for that employment?
I don't know. I mean, the other jurisdictions have it. There's no legal discussion. I wouldn't let the board of the JPA decide. I mean, have a discussion about that and sort of part of a governing structure. That would be my suggestion. I mean, other agencies such as Caltrans and and the TACOGs that are going to have, you know, they might like to also weigh in on sort of the discussion around appointments and or sort of terms and things of that nature.
Governance and bylaws. So that's what we're talking about.
You
want
to weigh in?
Yeah, I will say that there was an original proposal in the JPA agreement that had 2-year terms for the board, and I actually persuaded the other party to remove that provision because of two things. I think you're exactly right, Director Burrish. You want to provide the board with the opportunity to make some set of bylaws and operating procedures for the authority, but I also did not want to disempower this board to do whatever you want to do at whatever point in time you do want to do it. And so whatever that board does, it would be subject to and subordinate to your own discretion to make appointments and remove appointments whenever you want to do it, which should be the guiding principle, I think, for you.
In our individual jurisdictions, we have lots of these collateral duties, and annually we pretty much re-adopt it, and if they want to make changes, they discuss it. So I would say going forward, let's think about that in the way that we have this.
Okay, so we have a motion right by Director Warren, second by Director Fair, and then do you want the friendly amendments to you, Director Spalder?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll put it in the motion.
Okay. Yeah. And the motion second, are okay with that?
Absolutely. All right.
Can we just restate the motion?
Sure.
Staff recommends the board appoints Dr. Early and Director Chapman to the Carter Board.
Perfect.
No.
Without a statement of terms.
Thank you.
That sounds good? All right. Thank you. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Alright, so you've done it, motion carries. Thank you, colleagues, for, yeah, thank you. We work on that. I appreciate that. Alright, with that, we are going to move to agenda item number 6, short range transit pay request proposals, and we're going to get a little staff switch up and welcome Courtney.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the board. It's been a while, so good to see you guys. Here today to discuss our staff recommendations to approve our request for proposal for our short-range transit plan. So with this presentation, I'll get into a discussion of the overview of what is a short-range transit plan at a high level, purpose and intent, the LOTD's need to move forward with this recommendation through an RFP, and then our time. So, start with the content. But yeah, when I cover the table of contents, we'll move forward to the next slide. So, this is the image of our last short-range transit plan that was approved. The time frame that went from was 2014 to 2021. And to kind of set the stage, the short-range transit plan really is the strategic framework that we use here at ULOTD. It's what guides our planning, kind of operations, our service implementation, plans for capital improvements, rolling stock, and gives us really the time frame to forecast what are the current, I would say, trends or things going on within the county, and then with those trends, use that within our short range plan to kind of identify what are our goals and objectives that we're trying to achieve. So we'll go to the next slide. So what is the plan? Why is it important? Why is it required? So, for starters, it's a federal requirement. All transit agencies are required to have an updated short-range transit plan. The contents inside it really provide, like I said, operational optimization. So, taking a look at our existing service ridership on off, heat maps of where passengers are using our service the most, what routes should we potentially augment, and using that information to kind of guide us for the next 5 to 7 years. So within that, I've already covered the statutory requirements, but also this is not necessarily a fixed document. It's supposed to be updated regularly. That means that as things happen, that it shouldn't necessarily be the same project that we've had prior short-range transit plans on the preceding short-range transit plan. So something to keep in mind that as we're working through this and we're doing the outreach necessary in the planning, that once this is completed, it is still kind of a living document that could be subject to change, depending on, for example, changes in work from home for state workers, which could affect the travel on most of our major highways. Mm-hmm. There's also a community engagement requirement. I do want to make a note that within the scope of our RFP, that the City of Davis is also going out for their short-range transit plan as well. So we've been in communication with them since December of last year, just to make sure that we're both in alignment with what is the scope for each of our short-range transit plans and also conducting outreach at the same time, so we don't have to necessarily have one event that they're hosting and then we come behind. We knock it out in the beginning. Everyone's happy that they're not having to meet more than once, kind of go over the same subject. And then within that, also a roadmap for funding. So given some trends with kind of transit and funding that is available, we all wanted to include in this short-range transit plan of 3 fiscal alternatives. That we'll have the contractor look at just in a case of if there is a shortfall, if there is funding that is kind of maintained the kind of status, and then if through additional grant funding that we apply for and are successful, if we have a surplus to expand for the service and provide more kind of operational benefits for the region. And so, go to the next slide. And so, purpose and needs here specifically for LOTD. So we've, right now our short-range transit plan is a little bit out of date, but it's still within the plan timeline that we had to go through an RFP process. So just based on staff capacity with the other assignments that we're working on, it's really important that we push this RFP forward now just to make sure that we're not losing any time, and also so that way we can use this document to support us when we go out for FLUT grant funding. This also makes sure that if we go out for federal funds in the future that we are in compliance and that they won't use this as a way to potentially not allow us to deem our application eligible. So this just ensures that we are in alignment and eligible and that we can maximize our grant funding opportunities while also being aware of just kind of current staff capacity limits. And then also just kind of recapping like earlier, the strategic vision. So I think that's important when we kind of think about what is the direction that ELOT is going operationally to transit, especially now that we have the ELOT project that we're working with right now. So this is really important in a way of kind of getting a lot of communal input post-COVID and then looking at our current status of our transit system and then kind of asking those questions, where do we want to go? How are we going to get there? And then making sure that the community has some buy-in on that direction. And so timing now is works really well at the beginning of the year to get going. And we already have coordination with the city of Davis, but we plan to do outreach across all of our service areas. So it's just the timing of their RFPs are at work. And then also from an expertise standpoint. So we're looking at doing some capturing a lot of data from the highways, considering a large amount of the work from home changes that have impacted, you know, 42 service primarily, but also some responses that we've received when we did the survey for the Woodland Transit Center and a lot of people asking for some type of BRT service from Woodland to Davis directly just because there are a lot of grad students and students to shop in Woodland that really just need that single two-stop trip to get them to school. And so with that in mind, we're also adding elements to incorporate some of the mitigation projects for Yellow 80 within our scope of work and doing a higher-level analysis using cell phone data across 113, I-80 east and westbound, I-5, and I-80 going all the way to Solano County. So that way we can really capture a large amount of data so we can begin to kind of think regionally from a surface level of for future planning projects, having good data to build on. And so we'll go to the next slide. And so I think I covered this with what I just said, so we can go to the schedule board. And so now for the schedule. So pending board and the chair's approval of our request to go out for proposal, we have submit our RFP tomorrow. We have a pre-proposal meeting scheduled for February with the deadline for questions February 12th. The big point is March 1st being the due date for our submittals. We do kind of want a tight timeline so we have enough time to review and hopefully get this contract awarded pending board approval at our April board executive board meeting. And so from there, given the kind of current needs, we're looking to actually have this done within 8 months. And so during our kind of future conversations and depending on the contracts that we receive, that will be kind of a point of emphasis that we're looking for is to have a tighter turnaround where usually this document can take anywhere from kind of 12 to 14 months to complete. So I believe that is it for my presentation. Is there any questions? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. And, that was it.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. One of them is the ADA ridership is based on the fixed route compliance and areas like Winters no longer have fixed routes. And so it's a little bit ambiguous about how those riders are served and their hours are seriously reduced. Will you be asking questions about how that impacts communities like Winters?
I forgot to mention this. In our scope of work, we're having a full analysis of our ADA paratransit and microtransit service. So they will take into consideration current hours based on fixed route service, as well as ways where we could optimize or change our current service. So it doesn't necessarily have to be fixed to just say, can we not cut service or what is the most cost effective, but look at the data that they collect holistically and then really think strategically about how can we maximize the service. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, I think it does. And then the other one is that there's a lot of building bridges to happen in winter. So there's a lot of building along 128. And one of the planning meetings will happen tomorrow night at City Hall at 6:30. It would be great if the transportation was part of the planning instead of an after effect.
Okay. If I
if I may, I want to give a shout out to Courtney and to some of our, two of our interns are here tonight that recently did an analysis of all the land use and housing plans that are proposed in the county and how those may impact our future service needs. And a great project. I'm just curious, and maybe it's a question to Courtney based on what you just mentioned about how that data will be incorporated into this effort.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So for all the reports that we've done in-house and collectively already completed, will be reviewed by the selected consultant as a way of a starting point for the foundation of where do we go from here, meaning what do we currently have with our data information. So that is just, that's an internal report. Thank you, Autumn, for mentioning that. The interns did do great work. Just want to put that on record. And it will be included in the analysis for the short instrument. So they will be able to analyze for the next 10 years, because that's what the report basically has the scope of. What are all the housing developments and the rate of affordability within Yolo County?
I was remiss in not saying Happy New Year. I'm really good to see you, Courtney, in my interview, her valid introduction. But really good to see you. Happy New Year.
She got it in, though.
Yeah, I got it in. The building in Winners is new to Winners, and that is not just housing. It's all mixed use. And so, nobody on council has ever even been part of a conversation of this kind of bill before. So it's new to us, so we are hoping that transportation is part of that. Thanks.
Director
Collins? Director Lawrence, perhaps the into this. I'm kind of wondering, as a representative of my jurisdiction, what should my jurisdiction be doing to input into this process? Is there a staff liaison going on between the jurisdictions and our jurisdiction? Yeah, so for the community engagement outreach, that will be led by the consultants but under the supervision of the OOPD staff. So what we plan to do is we'll reach out to kind of the ambassadors of each region and city that we already have pre-identified with those relationships, letting them know the short-range transit plan, kind of our outreach process is beginning, here's the scope of work, here's what we're looking to accomplish, here's how we're looking to kind of how you can reach out to members in your region. But that plan has not yet been finalized, I would say, because we still need to go through the review process depending on the views. So I can say though that they will be actively involved, and there's probably something we can do in the meantime before our contracts are out, just to let the people we have built relationships with in the past know what it's called.
That's great. I just think there has to be some staff and staff talking about
it. Yeah, and just to add one more point, it's that our internal Yolo TD technical advisory committee is comprised of staff members from all of the member agencies. This will be an item on our agenda next week because they meet next Monday. So we'll be introducing this project to them. We're at the ground level. As Courtney mentioned, there's a process between now and when we actually bring back an agreement for your approval to bring on those consultants, where the scope of work will be more fully developed and we'll be able to perhaps answer more specifically some of these questions, because we'll have the scope of work for the consultant be more fully fleshed out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Sure.
Thank you. Just a quick item. I think somewhat similar to Dr. Sellers, but it's for sure staff to staff conversations are great, and that's very important. And I'm not sure how the board is about this agency is qualified as ambassadors or not. title, I guess. I hope that this board is consulted when we start, in that process of sort of determining the sort of public outreach, right? Because I think for me personally, I'm absolutely sure that there's a lot of collaboration going on between the city of Davis and this agency. That's already been mentioned in the staff report, and there'll be opportunities for, lots of engagement, and that'll be natural on, on its own. I'm obviously also concerned, though, about, areas of the county that, especially more rural, all communities in the county, but certainly the more rural parts of the county that might not necessarily, just receive a public workshop or whatever. So I want to just see if we can have an opportunity for us to just sort of see some sort of schedule or, we picked sort of as an example, five different locales for these public workshops and, what does the board think about it, that kind of thing. I just hope there's that opportunity. So I just wanted to raise that. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, I would expect that, we can structure this agreement with the consulting team to
sort of defer trying to precisely engineer a public outreach process when we bring in the agreement, and we can make part of the their scope of work to develop that plan within the process, before we really start doing a lot of public outreach, at which point we can have a check-in with the board and we can really discuss in more detail what those what that outreach should look like. We're discovering with the Yahtzee project, and Brenda's project manager is here discovering that, we're finding new ways to reach out to, underrepresented communities, and I'm really excited to see how that, will play out with that project. So we're learning a lot in terms of reaching hard-to-reach communities, and just to, circle back around, we don't necessarily have to predefine what that outreach process looks like. When we bring the agreement to you, we can develop that and have a placeholder, cost, budget for that item, and then we can develop it after that.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah?
Sure. That's left.
So just a couple of questions. I just wanted to confirm, I was asking my colleagues over here, is the funding for this $200,000 or $400,000? Just making sure.
It's $400,000.
It is $400,000. Okay. That's a good note. And again, because of interest, and I'm sure of how we normally do our RP, how do we ensure diversity of applicants or those who are having access to them? How do we get out, I guess, the word to make sure that folks maybe even that we normally don't work with would have an ability to apply and even hear about this?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we can we'll work with our marketing communications team, and then we'll have an announcement, and we have already a built in repository of different groups that we've worked with that we can reach out to as well. So
I will tell you that makes me nervous when we say, we're going to go to the station we're normally go to. And I'll tell you, that's how it's done.
I will say that under federal law, there is a requirement that we have what's called a DDE plan.
I agree.
That establishes essentially targets for us for ensuring that we're actually contracting with advanced business enterprises. We have, because of our size, we are smaller. Certain agencies have certain dollar amounts associated. Because of our size, we don't have dollar amount targets, but we do have to have an updated plan, which we update every 2 years, I want to say, that outlines how we're going about doing that. And so it is something that we're aware of in our procurement. We have had some staff turnover, as you know, and so I think we're kind of rebuilding that knowledge base right now. But literally, Chad Cedrigo and I, our director of finance, we're just talking about our DDE plan today. So it is something that we're aware of. I think we need to continue to get better and to revisit our strategies, but I just want you to know that it's not something that's an afterthought for us.
I was just looking to confirm that the DDE requirements are also in the sample contract, and that's the RFC, and so it's not just the YPD is required to do that, but also your contractor and their subcontractors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the federal program as well.
So part of then how we will be deciding or choosing will also, there'll be a section of, as I would hope, in the RFC, how they respond to that part, and then based on that, we'll be scoring them as part of how we decide who we would contract with.
Brian, do you want to talk a little bit about how you guys did this with Yahtzee?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Yahtzee was federally funded, and we did establish a DDE goal, and there's a worksheet and a formula that you use to establish that. And then when the consultants propose for your project, then they have to demonstrate, how they comply with that. In that case, that was a request for qualifications, and in this case, it's a request for proposals. So they'll have to, they have to have their team assembled and be able to define a scope of work that meets that percentage of work to meet that DDE goal. So they have to have, say, eligible DDE sub-consultants if they're not a DDE themselves. And then they have to have enough scope of work set aside for them to do as a percentage of the project budget.
It does. And just for the audience and those listening, I just want to make sure when we're saying pink CGI, but that diversity, belonging, and inclusion, no?
No, this is okay. This is advanced business enterprise.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay. It's defined as there's a couple of different categories, but it's businesses that are owned by people of color and businesses that are owned by women.
Great.
Thank you guys so much.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah, just a couple of quick questions about the shortening transit plan. The Causeway Connection is a kind of unique service that's from UC Davis to the Medical Center. And just wondering, I think that's in their request for proposals to have that as part of the analysis. I'm wondering, does the timing of the SRTP match up with the next funding cycle for the Causeway Connection? And is that going to align with the board getting to see the big picture of how all services are being treated? So that's the question. And then
I'll try to take a stab at that. So there's actually several converging planning efforts that are occurring at the moment. There is our short range transit plan, there's the City of Davis short range transit plan, and then there's the campus's sustainable campus transportation plan. And so recognizing that there's overlapping planning and overlapping interests, that there's a lot of coordination that's occurring. We're having essentially monthly meetings just to make sure that we're all sort of plugged into what each other is doing. We're not duplicating efforts. And, those meetings just started, but, it's been a good start and we're having good conversations about, how to make sure that we're, we're meeting the needs of all of our different planning efforts. I don't know if that answers your question, though.
I would just add that we currently have funding to operate our current Causeway Connection service through May of 2025. So there's about 16 months left. And at that point, we run out of funding for that. Those conversations about the future of the Causeway Connection between us, UC Davis, and SACRT are happening. In fact, we have another one this week, I want to say. I know that Ramon Zavar at the university is looking at what the university can continue to fund. We're looking at other options. Some of the SB125 funding, some of the transit bailout funding, right, that the legislature passed as part of the budget this year. We have a conversation about that, whether or not the Causeway Connection can be eligible for some of that funding, as well as even potentially, we've been talking with Solano Transportation Authority about some funding that they have. They've had to cut service of their blue line, which travels between Solano County, Davis, and Sacramento. They've had to cut that service, not because they don't have money, but because they don't have drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And their operation is actually based out of one way host, which is very expensive for them to bring their service all the way. So we're actually in conversation with them as well about whether or not some of those resources could go into the Causeway Connection and potentially look at expanding it westward.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, a lot of conversations are happening. As far as how that exactly syncs up with the work that Courtney is doing, as well as some of these other planning efforts, I think TBD, but the aggressive timeline that Courtney does have for getting this completed, certainly getting some of the existing conditions analysis and some of the ridership and travel information, I think will be very helpful to inform those conversations, particularly because, as Courtney mentioned, they are planning to look at Solano County and the broader regional perspective as part of that effort.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank
you, Mr. Chair. I'm enjoying this conversation. Brian, I especially appreciate the fact you're coordinating with your colleagues. There's no virtue in reinventing the wheel, having a common database, and we're sharing even the same slides. These things to me make a lot of sense, and I hope that effort will continue. I think our board is saying one other thing, but we want to make sure there's maximum fairness in this. That each jurisdiction is given due consideration, that our rural community is given due consideration. But as always, our appetites are much bigger than our budget. When we do metropolitan transportation plan sustainability community, whatever. When we do this stuff, we've got a constraint. We can't propose anything. We can't show a funding source for over this horizon, the planning horizon. Is this short-term plan also financially constrained?
Yes, so there are three financial proposals that we have in our short-range transit plans that we're having the contractor essentially analyze, determine if there is a fiscal situation, how will we continue to operate service over said period of 5 to 7 years, status quo, and if we have additional funding opportunities that allow for expansion. So we are looking into that for this scope for the short range transit plan, and seeing how that would affect transit for all of the jurisdictions we provide for.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I mean, there'll have to be some tough calls made eventually. I look forward to staff recommendation, and colleagues will obviously give great consideration to it, and so adding our own thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, so. Do we have any further questions for our staff? All right. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Public comment. Sorry, Alan. I'll open up public comment. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's usually a best practice to take public comment before this discussion. This is a wonderful plan. I'm amazed by the scope of it. I mean, it's exactly right. I'm anxious to do this thing. I think the timing is good with the mitigation plan kicking in, and that's what's been happening. So it's been a lot of people. And one of the most important things about these plans is accountability. Some mileposts to see how we're doing on the plans. Or is this put on the shelf after 10 years? And Autumn has set a very high bar for that, for other annual reports. I've been very impressed by that. This is only of the trends, as you said, Steve, in my experience. So I think Autumn's tools can roll into this plan and be systematized and made part of the DNA of the organization. I think it's appropriate, better cost reporting, better efficiency, cost effectiveness sort of things. I think that's actually part of the output of the plan, not just the plan, but also the tools so there's accountability going through. I'm very impressed by the land use incorporating that as the plan. I think that's highly appropriate. There's been a disconnect between city land use planning and transit with the DIS project. It was amazing to me that basically the developer had never talked to Yolo Bus. And I pressured Terry to basically have meetings. They finally had the meetings and they resaw things a bit. So that's the way it's perfect. But then I'm also disturbed, and that's I also pushed in the Village Farms development at Covell and Poland. And they also met with Yolo Bus and Brian. That was very, very positive. We need to do more of that. But I'm disturbed, for example, we saw the Gateway shopping mall where the bus things are put as far away from the buildings as possible because obviously there's no coordination with Yolo Bus. And the new Woodland Enterprise development, which is very on 27 and 113, very impressive, but they put in the transit center. So I talked to the developer at the meeting when we approved it. He has never met with anywhere at Yolo Bus. So we dedicated acres of land in this development, and it wasn't clear what you guys wanted. Transit centers don't that take BB bus off the lot usually are not a good fit. And we talked, and so I just, there's a disconnect there. That should be part of the DNA of the city. You cannot, a plan cannot go forward to council unless Yolo Bus has had input in the design, so it's really transferring, it's not just what the developer thinks. It's really important, so I'm really enthusiastic that that's going to be part of this plan. And I'm also think the county should be next. The county, there's been talk about the county doing development outside city limits. That should be talked to, too. There was a discussion about that at the county long-range planning workshop about 9 months ago. 31 years ago, I was intimately involved with the short range transit plan for the Peninsula Corridor rail system. In the 1981 short range transit plan, which justified buying the line and bringing it into the local counties. And that short range transit plan has never been implemented. Because there's no milestones, no accountability. So that's really important that basically when promises are made, we really track what's going on. And the board sees it, and the public sees it too, so we can see what's going on. So this is a wonderful project. Thank you for doing this, and thanks for finding all the research and do it right.
Thank you, Alan. I'll bring it back to our board.
Dr. Scott, one final thought. I'm just wondering, Brian, if we should be considering a single plan with three partners and then assign responsibility to the plan. I'm just throwing that out there. You don't have to respond tonight. Just something to think about. Do we need to take action on this? It doesn't look like an action.
We do?
You're
on
the RFP.
Yeah, we can still need.
Okay, we'll be adopted. Yeah, action item.
All right, I have a motion by Director Stoller.
Second.
Second by Director Ferris. Any further comments? Great, and I'll just point out that in our first round, we were asking questions about it, open up public comment, and now we're back for discussion. So we have a motion on the floor by Director Scholar, a second by Director Ferris. There's no further comments. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries for us. Our final. Thank you. With that, we move to agenda item number 7, administrative reports. And do any of my colleagues have any verbal reports?
Is that okay right now?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I didn't want to follow Kirk, so please don't worry about that. That's great. Anyways, I thank you for all your actions tonight, obviously, and read this presentation, but first of all, very impressed and then proud to sit up here with all of you. Facility items 4 and 5, I appreciate everybody's support, especially with the stakeholders, the board meeting, and the transportation committee. Take off the ass campaign. For a short time over there, too. And they put you right into the fire. And I was going to say, why should you stay up? But it's really Autumn and Brian. That's who's been working with them. I got a team behind you, so I guess I got the easiest job. But I thank all of you. This is something new for Caltrans. We struggle with it, too. But, just appreciate all your work. I also appreciate the Caltrans staff that were joking there behind me, but they really, did the heavy lifting as well for us. I do have an announcement, and I'm sorry, I'm going over 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
Caltrans has announced a more permanent actor, District 3 director. A gentleman by the name of Sergio Aceves. He is from headquarters, but right now he is the acting deputy director for maintenance operations and traffic operations. So Dave Moore, and some of you have met, is the interim, kind of the temporary stopgap in between energy. He and Sergio, he will be transitioning out. We don't have a start date yet for Sergio, so you'll see some of Dave, maybe some of Sergio, because they've got to have an actor for Sergio. But he'll eventually come here and introduce himself. Properly.
He's interim also, Sergio?
He's considered an actor. That's how we do things. We have an actor then.
Okay.
But not really a specific time period. It could be quick, it could be long. That's kind of how Caltrans works. I'm happy to be here with all of you tonight. And like I said, I'm very impressed with the action he took on standards.
Thank you, Greg. All right. Not seeing any other board member reports, we will move to Transit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Board. Well, coming into this new year is much better than last year. It's nice to say that we're in staffing levels just about the same as we were pre-COVID.
Huh?
We're actually a little bit better than we were pre-COVID.
Wow.
So we're into where we're more proactive on hiring efforts, smaller classes, spending different time with them. So. We're in a good spot now. Hopefully it stays that way. We're going to still continue hiring. There's a number that I want to have above. I want to add additional extra board, which is for emergencies. Anyone called? Now, we have them in place now, but I think we need a few more just to make sure that everything runs as smooth as possible. So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, closing it out. This week we've got a meeting with Bind Transit, which is NAPA, and Soltrans, which is Solana, to discuss a potential mutual aid agreement for emergencies. Mm-hmm. We are responsible for evacuations for emergencies here in Willow County for people who do not have a car. NAPA and Solana, the border that we share with them, is one of the most fire-prone places in Northern California. So there is a mutual aid agreement that covers Bay Area counties, but we are not part of the mutual aid agreements. We've got a meeting this week to talk about that. I'm looking forward to that exploration. And if there's any there, then we'll be coming back to you with further discussion on that. We had to postpone last week's planned meeting of the ad hoc committee on compensation. We're working on getting that rescheduled. The ad hoc committee, and just to remind everyone, it's been a while, will consider the results of the recent salary survey that we conducted, as well as corresponding changes to our personnel policy, so like how we place both new and existing staff members in those salary ranges, along with possible changes to our COLA policy, cost of living policy, based on concerns that arose during last year's budget development. So all of those things are on the agenda for that ad hoc committee, and we will be bringing that to you once the ad hoc committee has had a chance to vet it and is comfortable bringing it to the board. We are currently recruiting applicants for our Citizens Advisory Committee. So just a reminder, all of the new seats that you approved, several at-large seats are open to any residents of Yolo County. More information is available on our website. We have had a few applications that have trickled in, but of course we want to get more. So just want to remind you all and then members of the audience to please take a look for that. And if you know anyone that you think would be good, send them our way. We don't have a long range calendar tonight. We'll get that back on track next month. But a couple items that are going to be coming to you in February and March. First is a 3-month report on our new D-line service. So that'll be exciting. So we'll have that report to you at our February board meeting. We're also hoping to bring your recommendation for the Woodland Transit Center new location to you either in February or the March meeting. Changes to our ADA policy, as Courtney mentioned, we'll be bringing that. We definitely had a preliminary discussion several months ago. We'll be bringing that back to you. And then our second quarter financial report and our audit results for fiscal year 22-23. We're wrapping up the audit, as well as starting a conversation about updating our work plan and our budget for fiscal year 24-25. So all that's going to be coming down the pipe in the next couple of months. And we might even have a meeting where we don't talk about yellow. Possibly.
Yeah, a lot going on. Thank you. Do any of my colleagues have any questions?
Quick. And sure. Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much for that report, an update on regarding long range calendar. I specifically had written down the line update question mark of series of that. I think in just a general update, of course, it's going to be great, but also there is definitely still interest in the top potential service in the town of Yolo. And so just wanting to sort of keep that out there as something that hopefully we can have. It's not a part of his item in terms of an update. He just would still want to figure out how that can get scheduled at some point or agendize that discussion. And then I just have a question for you with regard to the mutual aid item, which is I guess it was maybe for evacuation for a number of years, but we certainly had mutual aid sort of agreements with RT. Not just on the sort of public connection, but on there were a number of things, and we had the sort of the fixed 50 projects, and there were do are you aware of those or are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
But thanks for flagging.
I'm pretty sure there and it was. That
I recall one that was an agreement for fueling services.
Yeah, yeah.
There were one in Unity, then Unitrans was backed up and provide fueling for
I think that as well too in the whole Unitrans. But there was definitely one with regional transit, So I don't probably worth taking a look for that. So thanks.
Any other questions?
I just want, I'm so happy too, the fact that Yellow Bus is involved in evacuations as necessary. Woodland has an economic study that shows in a major flood event we've been experiencing about $650 million in damages, and it takes at least 4,000 of our residents. So I'm glad to know that Yellow Transit is here to be a part of the solution to those problems.
Thank you.
Should they occur.
Thank you, Dr. Stoller. Any other questions for Scott? All right. Public comment on this one?
Yeah.
So we do public comment on the director updates?
All agenda items. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Well, not public comment. Anyone in the room? Welcome.
Yeah. This evening, two ad hoc committees were mentioned. I believe both are in violation of the Open Meeting Act. Your core value is transparency. You cannot have an ad hoc committee on a subject each jurisdiction. I believe, I do not know, but your action on the tollbury may be in question because it was based on your tolling. This is not good form. This is not the way to run an ad hoc committee to build trust. Thank you.
Thank you. And do we have anyone online or other comments on?
Maybe not.
Would you like to address those concerns briefly once again?
Sure. So I think Mr. Kirst was here at the last meeting. We talked about the Solon Advisory Committee, and he spoke with Mr. Hirsch. I know it's not like the answer, but it's been our determination that was the appropriate ad hoc. I believe it's actually been now completed now that the Joint Powers Authority is done, and so the ad hoc is complete. The ad hoc is for the compensation is short term. It's simply to, while the compensation study was completed, to help provide input. It's just taken some time for that compensation study, and so that is the reason that it is in place. And I believe they comply to that ad hoc.
Thank you. We just have to know that we are in good hands with people who have water. So thank you. And with that, we are adjourned.